Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, B-I-G-A-N-T, back with another episode of the Can I Get a Podcast. Man, I don't even know where to begin. It's been a long 6 months, and I'm finally back. Chop it up with you guys. I got a bunch of stuff I need to address, a bunch of stuff to talk about between my baby being on the way. Since we last spoke, I dropped the dime on the baby. We're going to talk a little bit about depression and how my life's been, my ups and downs up until this point, because my baby is due. What's today? Today is June 2nd, I think. Let me check the calendar. It is indeed June 2nd. My baby is due June 7th. So I'll give you guys all the juicy details about what's going on and what I've been doing with my time, ups and downs and learning curves of being the only supplier of the house and dealing with my wife being pregnant and watching her just be the strongest person in the world. So if you guys are still here and you guys are still rocking with us, we appreciate you. And yeah, man, let's get into the podcast. Peace.
I be up early in the morning waiting for an episode to drop.
Let's go.
Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I get up? Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I get up? Can I get
up? I be up early in the morning waiting for an episode to drop.
It's your boy B.I.G. Man, it's been 6 months since our last episode. And for those of you just tuning in, I don't know if I got new people tuning in. I have not been on the app. I have not been checking the stats, like, at all. I have a lot to get off my chest. I want to talk about so many things. And I thought today was the day. It's what? Gloomy as hell outside. It's about to rain. It's about to pour. It's been pouring all week. There's supposed to be a tropical storm or something, I think, of that matter, coming in this weekend. And I thought to myself at work, I was like, you know what? Excuse me. I thought to myself, like, yeah, today was probably a good day to get back on the podcast and get you guys back in the swoop of things, because I have plans for the podcast. Obviously, I still have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to do. Still in the grind of reaching 100 episodes. This will be episode 95. So, like I said, if you guys have been rocking with us, we appreciate you. I don't even know my slogan anymore. That's how long it's been. If you're new here, we appreciate you. If you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Something along those lines. I have to go back and listen. But you guys know, any love, anything that you guys have done over the year and a half, about year and a half since I started the podcast, it's just been a hell of a ride. It's been appreciated. I had to do so many things in between last episode, which was with my boy Texaco. And that was December 2nd of last year. So it's been a while. A lot of things have happened in between times. I had to move and you know, the baby coming and, you know, everything was just like a completely like a snowball effect. And I thought to myself, yeah, man, you know what? Maybe I need to let my people know what's going on with me, make sure they know that I'm okay, and, you know, touch on some things and keep you guys updated, because I don't want to let go of the podcast. And I'm working on it real hard to get back into swing of things and, you know, just dealing with life, period. So I appreciate you guys still tuning in and listening to all the episodes and keeping up tabs with me. So before we get started, you guys already know I gotta give a shout out to my sponsor who's been sponsoring the podcast since day one, kushgang.com. Use my coupon code kick it 10. It's probably not even a coupon code anymore. I gotta holler at my boy Zay, because I have no idea if it is or not. But
Kobe,
kushgang.com, they got hats, hoodies, t-shirts, lighters, backpacks, you name it. They got everything for your essential needs. Kushgang.com, coupon code kick it 10. That's kick it number 10. get 10% off your order if it's still working. I believe it is. I mean, Zay's not a complete asshole to just, you know, let me loose, but you never know. But other than that, everything's been good, man. I've been here. For those of you who don't know, my wife is 9 months pregnant and we are due next week, or wait, this week, I think. When is the 7th? The 7th is actually on a Tuesday. So she is scheduled for a C-section on the 7th. If anything happens before, then obviously we will go forth into it before the 7th. But she's scheduled for the 7th. Due to the baby being breached, she was just being really stubborn and did not want to turn around for her. So she's still breached and she's upside down. But throughout the entire pregnancy up until this month, I've had an emotional roller coaster of everything, feelings, emotions, incidents, situations, everything. In between all that, in between my wife being pregnant, my car broke down. RIP to Blanca, if you guys know my Dodge Challenger. I've had it for 7 years. And it decided to take a shit on me. So I'm in the process of getting a car, and in the process of that, her car actually took a shit. She has an older Beamer, and it decided to take a shit on her as well. So we are carless, and we're about to deliver a baby. So I'm in the process. I have some money saved up, and I have some money from selling my car to purchase a new car. Just haven't bit the bullet and pulled on a car, because unfortunately I don't have the best credit in the world to finance, and I'm not trying to finance anything with a baby on the way. So I got a nice little check from selling the car, and I'm going to use that towards buying a new car, or a used car, I should say. But I found some things. I found some cars, talked to some people, and I'm in the process of doing that now. So one thing at a time. We have no car. And whatchamacallit. It's just been, man, I have so many things to say. I just don't know how to put them, like, you know, put them into words. I've been down this road before, with my wife when it comes to having a baby or starting a family. And, you know, if for those of you who don't know, or just new, or just tuning in, or haven't heard, I've been married to my wife now damn near almost 10 years. And I sit back and I tell myself, like, I wouldn't want to have, or this was my first child, so like I would never think about having a family with anybody else but her. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a, like I said, it's just so many things I want to say. I feel stressed. And sometimes I'm depressed. I'm like, about like everything that's going on at once. You know, seeing is that she's pregnant, she hasn't been working, so I've been the sole income of the house. So I had to take rent, I had to take the lights, I had to take the internet and the phones and the groceries, and it's been okay, but it's been hectic at the same time. But not to the point where I'm like losing my mind. You know, there is obviously some days that are better than others. And, you know, I'm trying really hard on the outside, but I'm trying more on the inside to make everything work. You know, as a man, you know, like, we're all very egotistic and we're like, oh, you know, I can do everything. And there's sometimes I take a step back and I look at myself and I'm like, I really can't do everything. Like, I really can't. And, you know, I'll break my back and I'll do everything for, not only for my wife, but for my soon to be child. But it takes a toll on you. It really takes a toll on you, because I've never been in the position to where, you know, I have to do everything for my family. You know, everything has been, you know, 50-50 between me and my wife. And, like, you know, we're real cool when it comes to like paying bills and doing this and that or whatever. And, you know, it's just like, you know, you got to take one thing at a time when it comes to, you know, dealing with that in a way of, like, how should I say it? Like, we're not picky when it comes to doing our due diligence, you know? So, but being put in the position to change my life and my, basically like my life did like a 360. You know, it really did a 360. So now I'm trying to budget my money, trying to spend my money correctly, save my money, make sure I pay rent on time, make sure I pay the lights on time, make sure everything is in order, and then still manage to try to have enough money to just live. You know, I need gas. Gas prices are
stupid.
Really, really outrageous. And, you know, and make sure that I have food and everything like that. And it's a very stressful toll. You know, there's sometimes I catch myself and I'm looking up at the sky like, you know, what can I do? But like, what do I have to do next to try to get myself put in a better position? And unfortunately, like where I'm at now, like if I do my bills and I write everything down, like I even though I'm making 20 an hour, I don't make enough to survive. And I will not make enough to support my wife and my baby by myself. Like I have to get another job, and I've been looking, and I had a couple interviews and I was let down easy. And, you know, that really took a toll on my conscience. Like I was like, you know, I thought I had a couple of these interviews in the bag. It was going to be good. You know, I was going to go work for another city part time. It was great. And I never got the call back, and they never went through with my application. So dealing with all that, no cars, and being the only sole income of the house, I've learned a lot of things when it comes to my emotions, you know, preferably depression. And over the time, you know, I'm 35 now, God bless. Over the time, I learned really a lot of ways to deal with my depression way better than I did when I was a teenager. And my biggest thing is just always looking forward, you know, toward the future. And, you know, I sit back and a lot of people, sometimes you hear them talk like they might label their child as a mistake, or, you know, it shouldn't have gotten done, or we could have done things better, or we're not fit to live life with a baby or anything like that, like a contradiction kind of like thing, you know, like a burden. And I'm trying my best not to ever put that thought in my wife's head, because it's truly a blessing. Because like I said, I've always wanted a family, and I couldn't see myself starting another family or starting a family without, you know, it being her. So it's never gonna be a problem for me to break my back, or, you know, be broke to support my family. It's not even a question. Like I said, I'd go out there and I'd jump in front of a car if I had to, or if I had to, you know, spend my last dollar on making sure that I got baby food, or, you know, it's not never a second guess in my mind. Like I'm there mentally already before the baby is even here. And, you know, I have a hard time trying to fit my past into my present, you know. Like I contradict myself, and I tell myself, and I always like try to persuade myself that I can be a better father than my dad. Cause my real dad, not the guy you guys know, not Big Daddy Dan, but like my real father was never there for me. Was never really there for anybody, you know? And, I sometimes sit back and I tell myself that, you know, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself to where I don't want to be in the same category, you know? If that makes sense. Like, I don't want to be known as a deadbeat dad or somebody who doesn't care or anything like that. So, there's so much to say. You know, like, the biggest thing for me is, like, being there for my kids and being there for my wife. And, you know, I want to move out of, I'm in an apartment right now. And, you know, like, I have a goal where before she turns two, before she starts walking, I want to get out of the apartment and I want to get into a house, or maybe even just a bigger apartment. But I want to get a big place with a backyard, and I can take my daughter wherever the hell she wants to go, and I don't have to worry about anything. And, you know, I have a lot of things that I want to get done, and like I'm trying to focus all my energy onto that. Hence why I haven't done the podcast in 6 months. I'm trying to figure out my ways and right my wrongs and make sure the path that I'm walking on is the correct one, you know, because I've been up and down throughout these 6 months. I've been up and down and everywhere and dealing with everything when it comes to like family, comes to friends, bills, money, my wife, my life, my living situations, my car breaking down. It's a lot. Even shit at work too. Don't forget work. You can't forget, you know what I'm saying? You can't forget work.
Kobe.
And you know, like it's a big shitstorm. It's a fucking shitstorm. And I'm learning to deal with that in my own separate ways. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you could talk to me about what? Yeah, I know. But you know, sometimes I just want to talk to myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to deal with it myself. And I'm trying to find my ways. And, you know, there's times where, like I said, where I'm fighting depression. And, you know, us men, like I said, we're with our egos. I put on this facade sometimes where nothing's bothering me. And my wife reads me like a book. She knows when something's wrong. And I try my best not to worry her because she's got enough to worry about with the baby. So, you know, it's such a different vibe when you're taking care of the entire house and when you're trying to make sure your wife is eating and you're trying to make sure she's healthy and you try to make sure she's on the right page when it comes to delivering a baby and being a mom and, you know, doing everything, you know. And in between all that, we've had some scares. You know, we had to go to the hospital sometimes, and you know, she thought her water broke a couple of times, and you know, she reminds me that I'm doing great and I'm doing my best. And you know, she appreciates me. And in the same breath, I do the same with her. You know, even though she's 9 months pregnant, she still cooks and she still cleans and she's still like, you know, she's still wifey mode, even though she's carrying a whole human being with her. And it's amazing to me that a lot of people don't give credit when it comes to a woman, you know, being pregnant. You know, it takes a lot on your body. Like, you're carrying a human, you're carrying a whole child for 9 months. And I don't think a lot of people give women the respect they do when it comes to pregnancy, because it's not nothing easy at all. You know, there's times where I see my wife in a lot of pain, she's in a lot of discomfort. You can only sleep one way. It's a lot of, there's a lot of rules. there's a lot of rules when it comes to pregnancy. And you know, I'm learning in the process. You know, I've never been with somebody that's been pregnant, you know, thank God, you know, knock on wood, it is my first. And I'm learning things along the way. And it's that's the only thing I can explain and give you an explanation of how I feel. It's just it is a literal roller coaster. And you know, in between all that, you know, like I said, like I'm trying to be there for her. I'm trying to do the best. And you know, back on the subject, you know, like I just want to be a great dad. You know, that's like my number one goal right now. And it's crazy because, you know, I was just a regular guy. You know, I just, you know, go to work, come home, play video games with my wife and eat pizza and junk food and watch YouTube videos and shit like that. But like now it's like, you know, before she's even here, like I already have like these things are, I'm thinking about all types of like different kind of things. And like, you know, I get to do those things that my dad never did with me, you know. And that's tough when it comes to me. Like I don't talk about it much. Like I don't talk about my dad or the past because I really don't remember, because my stepfather, but he's not my stepfather, he's my actual dad. He was there for everything, you know, the first bicycle ride, the step coach, you know, assistant coach playing baseball growing up, and, you know, taught me how to swim and taught me how to fish and, you know, was always there for everything that I did, you know, got me my first car, taught me how to drive, shit, everything, how to use tools, how to be a man, you know, those things that are like a dad is supposed to do. And like with, I didn't even tell you guys her name. Her name is, it's,
boom shakalaka.
Her name is Ziana, Xiana. And like the things I want to do with Ziana, like I get to be there, and I want to be there. And that's I think that's gonna fill a very big void inside of me. Because I never had that with my father. And I think I get to be there for, I get to see my baby crawl. I get to see her walk. I can teach her how to ride a bike. you know, I can't teach her how to dance, but
he's on fire.
But, you know, then I could take her to her, like, I don't know what she's going to do when she comes out. But, like, if she does, like, you know, recitals and plays and all this stuff that you're supposed to enjoy with your child, you know, son or daughter. And I get to finally sit back and fill that void that was deep rooted in me, because I never had that with my real dad, even though my dad to this day gave me everything that I ever wanted and still does. 35 years later, he still does, you know. But it's more about me being the dad this time. Like, I get to be the dad. So it's really going to help me process and, you know, actually, like, you know, settle those demons down where I can actually be there for my kid. So when my kid is 6, 7, 8, you know, 17, 18, 21 years down the road, she can sit back and think about all the stories and all the memories that she's had with me and that nobody else, you know, she's had those moments with her dad. And I was there for that. You know, like that's the biggest thing. It's like being there for your kid and just being able to share those moments, and you'll remember them forever. You know, like, I, you know, and, you know, technology, we'll be able to record it and all that. You know, that's great. But inside, I'll be able to carry that till the day I die. And I'll never have to regret not being there. I'll never have to have her feeling like why he was never there, or why doesn't he care, or why doesn't he want me. You know, I don't have to have her ever think that way. And to me, that's all what it's all about. And I just can't wait to be able to do those things. And it's like how they always say too, you know, you got to go through the storm to get to the rainbow. And, you know, I'm having a tough time, you know. I wouldn't say tough. It's rough. It's rough, but it's not tough because it's getting done. But, you know, you got to hit rock bottom before you get to the top. And I'm going through it, but it's not the worst. Because, you know, like the old saying says, you might think you've had it bad, but somebody else has it worse. And, you know, you see it every day. You know, you're at work, or you're driving somewhere to get something to eat, or you're going to get gas or the store. You see homeless people all the time and they don't have anything. And, you know, I still have an apartment. I'm getting a car. I have a wife. I'm about to have a baby girl. Everything is cool. I got food. And, you know, it's a rough situation. But, like, I think with the way I'm set up and the way my family's set up, the way my wife is set up, and hopefully she gets good genes, and the way my daughter will be set up, it's, we'll never have to worry about that. You know, like, I have plans on trying to put us in the right direction to where we don't have to worry about too much, you know? I was rambling for a little minute. I'm actually drinking a Corona. I don't drink Coronas, but I decided to be exotic during the podcast. One second. I didn't want to slurp on the mic. That would have been not good, fam. So in between all of that, let me check my notes. I did write some notes down for this because I really wanted to give you guys every little bit of detail, or try to at least. So we talked about the baby, Deanna. She's coming June 7th. We talked about my depression and how I feel about what's going on, and working alone and being the supplier of the house. Next up I have here is Jen, my wife, being such a strong, I wouldn't say strong independent, but she's strong independently. My wife has shown me a side of her that I've never saw before, and the pregnancy brought it out, and I'm glad I'm able to be here and witness it. Because like I said, being pregnant is not easy. It's not. It's really not. You know, you can't move. You can't sleep certain ways. You always feel heavy and uncomfortable, and you know, there's cute moments where you feel the baby and you're like, it's all cute and it's all fun and games till you try to get in the bed and get out of bed and, you know, just move around. But with that being said, like I said, my wife is all throughout her pregnancy still cleaning. She cleans the house. I gotta beg her to stop. She cooks for me. She still cooks, and she helps me take the dogs out still. She walks out there. She got a little penguin walk with the dogs in her hand. And, you know, we do everything still together. It takes her 20 minutes to get in and out of the car.
Boom shakalaka! He's heating up!
But, she, like I said, she showed me a side of that I've never seen before. And, I don't know the thought process. And I don't know how someone feels when they're pregnant. Like, because obviously we're men, we don't know what it's like, but it's something that changes you directly and indirectly in regards to how you live your life and how you operate and, you know, your everyday routine. It changes. You know, you got to wake up, you got to take prenatals, you can't forget your prenatals, you got to stay hydrated, you got to watch how you bend over, and it's just rules to pregnancy. There's a whole bunch of rules. And throughout the entire thing, she's just been amazing. She has not once made it a bad experience for me. And like I said, she's just a very strong individual person. And I always knew my wife was cool like that, but I know she was that cool because it's a lot of stuff you have to deal with, like I said. But through all the ups and downs and the scares and the hospital visits and seeing everything, like seeing how her face lights up when she talks about Ziana and like the sonograms and when she's folding the clothes and she's putting the clothes away and the diapers and she makes these cute remarks. I can tell also with her and with everything is going on and as it's inching closer that it's patching a lot of voids. You know, I don't want to get too personal on the podcast, but there's a lot of voids that my wife has as well. And I know deep down inside when the baby's here that it's gonna patch a whole bunch of voids, a whole bunch of holes that me and her carried for a very long time. And that's what it's all about. You know, this is what it's supposed to be like. You're supposed to find the person you love, start a family, grow old together, and watch your kids grow up and become old too. And I can't see myself doing it with anybody else. And it's such an amazing experience. Like when you find the right person and you go through this the right way, the correct way, even if it's tough, like it's for us, it's tough at the moment. Things always get better, obviously. But it's just an amazing ride, dude. It's an amazing feeling. And we're like almost here. We got our baby bags ready. And like, you know, the family's ready. Everybody's excited. And it's just an amazing feeling that I have somebody like that with me to enjoy this ride. It's really a journey. It's really a ride. And you know, I'm loving every minute of it. Like I said, it's tough, but it's not doable, you know, if that makes any sense. It's not doable, you know. So I mean, anything is possible, because the only thing you do is give up, and I'm not giving up at all.
Nope,
not at all.
Nope,
not one bit.
Nope,
damn right. So with that being said, also, we put out a registry. We got a lot of friends and family come through. Oh my God. If I started to give shout outs and stuff, I'd probably forget. But anybody who's ever bought anything from the registry, you know, I've had friends on my Xbox who I haven't even met before buy stuff on the registry. I've had close friends, close family, diapers, wipes, clothes, booties, bows, outfits. And everything, you name it, whatever, baby. My father-in-law, her dad got us a stroller, a bathtub, a bassinet, all type of stuff. You know, my mom helped out too. My mom and dad helped out. We got a changing table. We got everything, man. We got what's it called, a little baby rocker thing. You put the big little rocker thing. What's it's not? It's not a rocker. It's like a, you know, you put the baby in, the baby just be bouncing. whatever that baby rocker, whatever it's called. We got all that stuff, man, and we got little toys and everything like that. So if anybody's hearing this that donated, that came by, that dropped off clothes, that gave us money, that bought something from the registry, it's highly appreciated. The support is just overwhelming. There's a lot of people that I didn't think or didn't expect to help us, and they actually did. And a lot of people came in clutch, and a lot of people just have been really, really supportive of everything, and it's been amazing. And I appreciate you. My wife appreciates you. Ziana's gonna appreciate you because she's set, she's ready to go. And yeah, man, I appreciate everybody. It was such a great feeling that I have family and friends that actually really still care about me and give a shit about me. Oh man. So with that being said as well, my biggest thing is that when the baby's here, I get to witness everything that a father should. You know, like I put myself in that small spectrum, that 1%. That's probably not 1%, but I'm probably a little over exaggerating. But you know, the dads that really want to be there for their kids, and I just can't wait to experience everything. You know, like I watched my sister have her daughter, and she's going on 2 now too, baby JJ. And you know, just being, she does it by herself. Yeah. My sister does everything by herself. Imagine. And she busts her ass. She goes to work and she does all this stuff for JJ. And if she can do it, I could do it. Not saying that I'm better than her, because I'm not. My sister is way above me in every aspect. But you know, I sit back and I watch my sister do it, and she goes through the grind. And she makes sure JJ has everything. You know, she got her own ups and downs and life struggles and dealing with, you know, the baby's father that is here when he wants to be and not when, you know, it's tricky. But, you know, same old song. And she manages to maintain and do her thing. And JJ is the cutest and most adorable baby in the world. And you know, I love them both dearly, and just seeing my sister go through all that and being able to come out strong and every day provide for her, it motivates me. You know, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, probably not to the best, but I'm gonna get it done. I'm gonna get it done. But you know, other than that, you know, in between the podcast, you know, I've been dealing with the pregnancy, and we had to move. Unfortunately, we had a discrepancy with my landlord, with our landlord, and we had to move from Pompano back to the neighborhood. So if you people are listening to this that know me personally, I am back in the neighborhood, and I live right behind mom. So if you know where my mom is, I live right behind her. It's not hard to find me. And, you know, between that, we had to move. We had to come here last second. That was just as we knew that she was pregnant. And moving was a hassle. Shout out to my boy Amir for coming through and helping me move. And he helped me move. It was a fucking disaster. I hate moving. I hate anything related to moving. I hate anything related to boxes. Because there was a fucking shit ton of boxes out here. And, yeah, man. So like, we had to do all that. Then we got here, and you know, it started settling in, and then the thoughts and the emotions started settling in as I saw her get bigger and bigger. And you know, and here we are 5 days before she's due. And you know, I just really hope that everything goes well and that we have a healthy delivery, because you know, the C-section kind of scares me, but I believe she's in good hands, and I know God will prevail and you know, give us what we want. That's just a healthy baby and a healthy delivery, and to have my wife back home and no complications. And it's just, like I said, guys, there's so much stuff I want to talk about, and I don't want to bore you guys with the same subject. But it's crazy, man. June 7th, Ziana Molinari will be born, and your boy, Big Ant, will be a dad. I can't even believe I'm still... it's still like surreal to me that I say that, and it's crazy. But what else? Let me see my phone real quick. See what are the notes I wrote down? I didn't write too much because that's basically what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, man. So also shout out to everybody that's helping my wife. Her dad's been helping her get to the doctors. Even her cousin was helping her get to the doctors. Who else? Our friend Romy, who's also took her to the doctors when we had a scare and we thought her water broke. Romy had to take her because I was at work, but I don't have a car, so I couldn't get there. So there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are making things happen for us, and I can't thank everybody, but I'm going to try to just give you guys a generally huge thank you to anybody that's played a part in any of this. And I'm not just talking about pregnancy. I'm talking about the podcast and just my life in general. There's a lot of times where I fell on people and they actually came through for me. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, like I got my boy Martinez, got jokes. I got my boy Cruz. I got Amir. I got my boy. Who else I got? I got my boy Matt from work. I got my uncle at work. My dad, my mom, my sister, her dad, Poppy, everybody. And let me tell you something about something that happened about 2 weeks ago. It was just a thought in my head as I'm looking down. I see my dog's collar on the desk. My dog got attacked like 2 weeks ago. Like, I shit you fucking not. Like, I shit you fucking I shit you not. And let me tell you about it. I really don't have that many traumatizing events in my life. Thank the Lord. It's probably one of the most, not the most, because I have another one, but that's a little personal. But it was a very traumatizing experience, and I'm still not okay with it. Like, to this day, I'm still not okay with it. And so this was like 2 weeks ago. I came home from work. I usually come home from work, say hello to the wife, and then like we take the dogs out. We go in the backyard. My apartment has a huge backyard, and there's dogs next door, like a lot of dogs, like a lot. Like, I'm talking about 6 to 8, like pit bulls, American bulldogs, and shit like that. And of course, nobody puts their dogs on a leash to walk them in the backyard. That's absurd, you know. That's like, I don't know. That's like, what is that? That's like putting blue cheese on your cheese. And we get to the backyard. We open the gate. They usually run before us because Mello, who's the male dog, and Mia is the female. Mello likes to chase the iguanas. He likes to chase the lizards. He's Crocodile Dundee in the flesh. So sometimes he runs ahead of us, and you know, you think nothing of it. It's a big backyard. We're chilling. We're cooling out. So he makes the run to the shed. There's a shed about maybe, I want to say maybe 30 feet from the gate, and he makes the run like he always does, and cuts the corner of where the shed is. And when he cuts the corner, he comes back. And when he comes back, there is a, I shit you not. Like, I wish I was over exaggerating. About 110-120 pound fucking American pit bull. Like, the biggest American pit bull American bulldog that I've ever seen in my life. And he grabs Mello, like, from the side. He bites Mello and grabs him, and he's fucking ragdolling him. And if you guys know me, I'm a very, very lovable animal person. I won't even hurt a fucking lizard. I won't even hurt a worm. And so he bites Mello. He's got him in his mouth, and he's ragdolling him, like shaking him. So I run over there. I jump on this dog, this 120 pound bulldog, and I put my hands around his neck, and I put my knee in his shoulder blades. And I start wailing, like knocking the fuck out of this dog. And I'm punching the dog like 3 or 4 times. The first punch did it. The first punch, boom, he dropped him. And I'm still punching him. And the dog owners were a little slow and reluctant to help us. Like, the dude was just standing there, like, almost got up and swung on this guy. So he's standing there. I'm telling him to get his dog. So he He like nonchalantly goes over there, grabs a dog or whatever, and you know, he takes the dog away. As I turn around, my wife, who is 9 months pregnant, by the way, is holding Mello in her hands, and there's just blood everywhere. Like, it's a fucking massacre. And like I said, she's 9 months, so I'm shitting bricks because I don't know if it's blood from the fucking baby or if it's blood from the damn dog. And he's just bleeding. And then the audacity of the lady, of the man, of the dog owners, of the neighbors. She's just standing there as another pit bull or bulldog is in my wife's face while she's holding Mello as he's bleeding all over the place. The dog is just standing there and she's looking at the dog like, oh, don't worry. She's just scared. She's just scared. So I mushed the dog hard as shit. I mushed the dog, you know, like I was from New York, you know, I'm from New York. Son. I mushed the dog and I'm like, yo, get the dog away from my dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's gonna attack my wife or it's gonna attack the dog. I don't know this dog. So she grabs her, she gets up, I come in the house, I get some rags, I give the rags to my wife, I tell her to keep pressure on the bite wounds, and we go to this animal hospital that actually saved one of my dog's lives growing up. And I shit you not, bro, my fucking luck when it comes to things is just out of control. And I pull up to the animal hospital. You know, wife gets out again, 9 months pregnant, carrying a dog that's bleeding and crying like profusely. We walk in there. There's another pit bull on a leash. I'm like, oh god, here we go again, round two. So she walks in. I walk in behind her, and the dude is up there. I guess he's talking to the lady or the receptionist, and you know, I guess he's finalizing his payments and stuff to get out of there. So she looks at me. And she's like, do you have an appointment? I said, an appointment. I said, an appointment for what? I said, it's an emergency. And I point to my wife, remind you, who's sitting there 9 months pregnant, and she's fucking bleeding. There's blood everywhere. And she goes, oh, you need an appointment. I said, it's an emergency. She goes, well, you need an appointment. So if you don't have an appointment, I can't really help you. So I said, okay. She started writing something on a piece of paper. I didn't see what it was. So I said, do you know any other emergency vets that are close? She goes, yeah, I'm writing it down. I said, you know what? Never fucking mind. I walked out. I slammed the door. There was a, you know, those signs that say welcome and they have like times and shit when they're open. I proceeded to fall on the floor and I kicked it into the fucking parking lot. You see, I'm getting mad now. I'm cussing on the podcast. I apologize. Stupid. So we had to get in the car. I'm Googling shit and Mello's bleeding everywhere. My wife is fucking having a goddamn heart attack. And I found this place over off Sterling called South Broward. We pulled him in there, and you know, they take him back there. And I think it was maybe 2 hours, an hour and a half. You know, they had to sedate him, they had to stitch him up, they had to put drains in him. If you guys don't know what drains are for puncture wounds, they put these little tubes that help drain the fluids that are not supposed to stay in the puncture wound, so it doesn't cause infection, etc., etc. So he got the drains in him. He got the stitches in him. He had 3 puncture wounds, and his arm was bruised to hell. Like his left, I think it's his left arm. His left arm was bruised to hell. And you know, I wish I was over exaggerating. They look like bullet holes. Like it looked like somebody shot my dog with a small caliber gun. And you know, they had to put him in the cone and he was limping and all that stuff. I felt bad, got to pay meds, and it was just a shit storm on top of my wife being pregnant. I keep bringing it up, sorry. But she's pregnant, and we had to watch the dog, and it was just a shit storm. It was a colossal clusterfuck. And through all that, you know, the process of him healing, the very next day, I swear to God, I wish I was over-exaggerating. The very next day, the first day he was limping, couldn't walk on at all. We put him on some blankets, laid him next to us. And, you know, my wife stayed up all night making sure he was okay. And the very next day, we take him out to go use the bathroom. And this little dude was walking on his arm. Like, it just, you know, it doesn't, fuck, it doesn't matter. I just got attacked by a 120-pound bulldog. That ain't nothing. You need 6 more bulldogs to kill me. I'm good. And he was literally walking. And he doing his thing. You know, he had to pee. He leaned on both legs and was, yeah, I got to piss right here. And I don't even know how to explain it. It's so unreal to me that the way this dog, and he's 9 years old, he's getting up there in age, he bounced back from this injury, from this attack, faster than I've ever seen anything or anyone heal from any type of injury. And in maybe 5 days, he was just walking and running and trying to jump on the bed and jump on the couch and do all this crazy shit. I'm like, yo, like this little dog here is the most strongest dog I've ever seen in my life. It's crazy. It's literally crazy, because when I show people the pictures of the injury and of the dog, they're like, yo, how the hell did your dog not die? And I told him, and I tell everybody else, if that dog would have went 6 inches more to the left, he would have grabbed his neck. And that was the top of the dog's mouth. So the worst injury was the top one, which was a bigger hole than the rest. That would have for sure tore something up in his neck, and he would have probably bled out, like in my wife's hands, and my wife would have lost it. But, you know, thankfully we didn't get there. And, you know, side note, the dog didn't have no broken bones, no torn muscles or tissue or anything. And I'm like, how the really hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make no sense.
Kobe,
it doesn't make no sense. So, and he's good now, and he's good. He's in the other room right now with my wife, and he's got the cone on. He's chilling, and he's got the top hole. The biggest one is finally healing. We took him back last weekend, and unfortunately, the top hole wasn't closed due to it was healing, and like the crustiness of, like, it sounds disgusting, but like the crusties of the juices the crusty of the juices were coming out of it, and they would dry overnight and it would get in the hole. But they told us not to mess with it, so we left it alone. Like, we didn't touch it at all. So unfortunately the two out of three did. Unfortunately, the top did not. So we had to come back home, put the cone back on them, and you just gotta let it air out and let it dry and let it heal normally, you know, naturally. So we did that, and it's actually getting better as we speak. Both of the other holes at the bottom, his arm and his stomach, they're already healed, they're closed up, we're good to go. So this top one is taking a little bit longer, but we're on the right track, because as of today it looks a lot better. It's finally closing up, and he's I gave him a haircut, he's back to normal, and he's just basically just irritated because of the cone, you know. And it was a very, I'm telling you, it was a very crazy, traumatizing moment in my life. And I talked to a lot of my friends, and some of my friends also had their dogs attacked, and I don't know how they feel, but like, I just feel so bad. Like, you know, it's like my dog, it's like my man, that's like my son, you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt so bad, but I felt so blessed, and you know, like, I felt like God was with me. And like, if he would have just moved the wrong way, like to the left, I think we would have been burying him, and that's scary to me. No, so that's really scary. But I'm also really blessed that nothing too dramatic happened out of that. But Mello's good, man. Mello's good. He's in another room. He's kicking. He's still doing Mello things, and you know, it's great to see him bounce back. It's crazy how fast he recovered. I've never in my life seen anything like it. I'm truly blessed to have such a cool little dude with me, man. So shout out to Mello, and shout out to everybody else That's been helping us out, man. You know, we've had a lot of ups and downs during this time that we haven't spoke on the podcast. But I just wanted to come on here and let you guys know that I'm still kicking, and I still have plans on doing the podcast soon after Zion is born. And trust me, before you even say it, yes, when Ziana can talk, she will definitely be on the podcast, and I cannot wait to talk shit with my daughter. So, with that being said, if you're new here, we appreciate you. If you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. There it goes. I fucking remembered it. God damn it. Like I said, it's been an awesome ride. all of the love and appreciation towards my podcast and towards my family and my wife and my soon-to-be child. Everybody that's helped me cope and that's helped me deal with any type of depression, excuse me, of any type of ups and downs, gave me a dollar, let me talk to you. Anybody that's reached out to my wife and helped her, anybody who's bought anything on the registry, anybody who's personally and physically came to my house and dropped something off, or if we met up somewhere and you sent me something, or you sent something to my mom's house and I picked it up, it's appreciated, and I thank you. I can't thank you enough. It means the world to me. I don't care if it was just a pair of baby socks. It means the world to me, and she thanks you too, and Ziana's gonna thank you too when she's here. And yeah, man, the Can I Kick a Podcast, I don't want to say I'm back because I don't know when I'll be back again. I want to be back again soon, but probably after my baby's born, because then that's going to be another story, because I'm not even sure how I'm going to be when that happens. You know what I'm saying? So
stupid.
But again, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Everybody that's ever, like I said, I could tell you guys, every single episode, it just means so much to me that you guys still tune in, that you guys still care about the podcast, and that you care about me and my family and are rooting for us. I'm rooting for you guys too. Shout out to my boy Ty Sterling. Y'all guys already know. Shout out to my boy Bones, man. He's about to have his own baby soon and be part of the daddy club. And let me get shout out. My boy Martinez got jokes. He's got, I can't tell you too much, but he went through another life-changing experience. And he's still grinding on TikTok and Instagram and still doing his thing. My boy Cruz, who's been my therapist. He's been my therapist throughout this whole thing. My mom, my dad, my sister. Man, the list is forever. Yo, shout out to my barber.
Kobe.
Man, shout out to everybody, man. Shout out to my brother Ricky. Shout out to my wife, my baby, my dogs, my sister. I mean, everybody, man, just thank you. Thank you so much. So hopefully I see you guys soon. We'll talk soon, I promise. June 7th is right around the corner. I'll probably try to make one shortly after she's born. And once everything is settled and the smoke is cleared, I'll get back on a regular scheduled programming. But it was nice to be back. It was nice to chop it up to you guys. Venting was definitely a plus right now, and as soon as I got done with this podcast, the clouds are gone out the window and the sky is bright again. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Peace. Now, you see, you guys almost let me leave without doing my thing. If you guys made it this far in the episode, what do we do? What do we do? Hit that respect button. I'm rusty, okay? I am a little bit rusty, bro. I'm a little rusty. So again, I'll see you guys on the next episode of the Can I Kick a Podcast. Peace.